37:1-14. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bags. He led me back toward the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life, and then you will know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling noise, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, come breath from the four winds, and breathe into the slain, that they may live." So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, "Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. And when I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord."
I'm a preacher, and I think I've probably never met a preacher that didn't like to eat. So, I have many foods that I enjoy. One of my favorite is macaroni and cheese. How many people here like macaroni? Okay. If you really like macaroni, raise your hand high. Okay. Because I saw him first. Kenny wins a prize today. I brought him a macaroni dinner. Here's your fork. Here's your macaroni right here. How'd you like to eat that? It'd be a little tough. Silly me, I know what's wrong with it. It's macaroni and cheese. I forgot the cheese. Here you go, the macaroni and cheese. This is for you to have. He doesn't seem too excited about it. Anybody else in here really like to have my macaroni and cheese I just fixed? You do? I messed up. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate that. See, he knew what to do. I'll see if I can deal with this and I'll get back to you. So, you have to cook it up? Do you know how to do that? You don't either? Okay. So, this isn't something Kenny wanted to eat. I'm guessing it's not something anybody else wants to eat either. But it helps me think about what Ezekiel must have been thinking. If you had never seen macaroni and cheese before and didn't know what it could turn out to be, and somebody brought this to you and said, "You know what, I can fix this so you can eat it," you'd say, "No, thank you. I don't want anything to eat that looks like that." But as we just found out, something can be done and it can be transformed in a way that it becomes really good. And many of you have experienced that. Well, I think that's something we can learn about as we move into Ezekiel's vision this morning. If you want to turn back to your scripture, it's Ezekiel chapter 37, and we'll be looking at verses 1 through 14. And as we do, I want to take each verse, and when we're looking at it, first of all, I pointed out it was a vision, and this vision that Ezekiel had, it was for Israel. And it was a vision that really represents their death and resurrection. They had been through something horrible. They had been separated from everything they knew. Jesse shared part of his life story today. And it's hard to imagine, especially when you're in the midst of that, how God can take that and anything good can come out of it, because in the midst of that it's just hurt and pain and anger and hatred. And so you can't see the good. But not only is this something that Ezekiel had as a vision and a statement for the people of Israel, but it is something that is, with all Scripture, I believe is relevant and has meaning and purpose for us today. So, as we reflect back, and I'm not going to read all the Scripture, but in verses 1 through 3, if you look back at that, it's obvious that God cares. God brought Ezekiel to this vision and basically said, "What do you see? Look at these dry bones. Can they have life?" And Ezekiel said, "Only you know." But God cared enough. God was doing something. God was getting Ezekiel to pay attention because God cared. And so that's the first thing I want us to understand that's relevant for us today. We need to know that God cares for us. There was a time when Jesse wasn't so sure that God cared for him, because if he did, how could he be going through what he was? Anybody else in here ever been there? My guess is there's not many people on the face of this earth that haven't been there. And there are many, many people you and I know right now that are right now in that place. That they may know they're supposed to believe that God cares, but when it really comes down to it, they don't see it, they don't feel it, they don't know that there's evidence of it. But I'm telling you, God cares for everyone, man, woman, boy, girl. Whether you live in Nelson or Charlottesville, whether you live in Virginia or California, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, whether you are, get this one, whether you're guilty or innocent, God cares for you. Whether you're rich or poor, whether you're a Christian or not, God cares for you, and God cares for those people that you know. There is no one that God does not care for. So that's the first part of what I believe we're supposed to understand from Ezekiel, is that God cares for us. And sometimes our situation keeps us from being able to see that. But then I want to move on to verses 4 through 6. Here, as we read, God sends help. He's sending help to Israel. He's sending help to Israel through the prophet Ezekiel. And so as God sends help here, and he's given Ezekiel specific instructions of what he's supposed to do, can you tell me, do you remember in the reading Brenda did, what instructions did God give Ezekiel? What did Ezekiel do on God's behalf? It seemed pretty simple. What did God tell Ezekiel to do? He prophesied. Prophesying is what? He spoke. He just spoke with instruction, and he did it as God said. That was the type of help that came in this instance. God used Ezekiel to accomplish his will. Now, the first thing I want to say about this, about God sending help, is God desires to use other people and other situations to accomplish his will in our lives. And this is challenging for us. Why? Because we like to have control of our own lives. But in order to accept God's help at times, we have to be humble. And we have to realize that sometimes God wants to use people, God wants to use situations to accomplish things we can't do on our own. And that's hard for some of us. So that's the first thing, and maybe that's the big thing you needed to hear today. But that's between you and God. This is a time you and God are worshiping, and you give to God what you see fit. And maybe that's a place you need to just stop and give. But I'm going to continue because maybe there's some others that need to hear something different. And that is that God may be wanting to use you as the tool in somebody else's life. And in order to do that, you at first, remember we said the first thing we have to do is to acknowledge that God cares. There is nobody you know, nobody that you know that God does not care for. There may be some people you know that you wish He didn't care for. There may be some people that you know that you think God must be the only person that can care for them. But regardless of how you want to look at it, there is no person that you know that God does not care for. And so God may be, and I believe with every person in this room, there is at least one person in your life, whether it's right now, that some specific or God's working on you, there is somebody, if you're a believer, if God's a part of your life, God wants to use you in somebody else's life just because that's how the body of Christ works. And it's not just occasional, that's constantly how the body of Christ works. I heard a couple of things this week that I didn't like. And I almost didn't share them because I truly don't feel that this is representative of what I know as Woodland, because I could give specific examples with specific names with specific people to show that this isn't true. But I feel that I am supposed to share it. I don't think it was just coincidence that I heard these couple of things this week. But I think we need to be aware of it. Even if we are doing the right thing, we can do more than what we're doing sometimes. Even if we're doing what God wants us to, God calls us to more. And then there's sometimes we get comfortable and we just slide back. So I'm going to tell you a couple of things I heard. One of the things I heard, I was at this group where we were talking about challenges that different communities face, Nelson being one of them, but not just Nelson. It spread out to Amherst and Charlottesville and places all over Central Virginia. And we were talking about different problems, and there was one person that said, you know, I went into a school system, and when they were talking about problems that people were facing within this public school system, they said, you know, we've talked about churches helping, but really the people that help the most, really the people that seem to care the most, really the people that give the most that make the difference, aren't usually church people. And they didn't say it specifically, but what came across was, you know, the church people a lot of times are more concerned about their programs, about their church building, and about looking like they're doing the right thing to involve themselves with getting messed up in the messy stuff that's in our community. Now, like I said, I know specifically of cases where the opposite is true with people here at Woodland, but you need to hear that there are people that's what they see from their perspective in some situations. Another way of describing the same thing was they described sometimes people at churches may be more like turtles and skunks. Turtles and skunks. Now, this may be something you may remember. You may forget everything else about this sermon today, but I don't think you're going to forget about the turtle and the skunk. Because they said, a lot of times people that call themselves believers, when they're faced with things that aren't pleasant, when they're faced with struggle, when they're faced with hardship, they tend to do one of two things. They either pull back in themselves and ignore it and have nothing to do with it, or they simply create a stink and don't help the situation at all. I don't want to be a part of doing that. And as I try to think honestly, there are times I have done both of those. There are times I have been a turtle. There are times I have been a skunk. But after hearing that this week, and I tell you, I'll never forget about the turtle and the skunk. I don't want to be that type of person. God doesn't want us to be that type of person. And I believe as we look at Ezekiel, as we look at the vision, as we look at what God called him to, if we realize that God cares and God cares about every single person, that doesn't mean we have to go and minister to every single person. That doesn't mean we're called to do that. But I'm telling you, God is going to desire to use us in somebody else's life. And probably within this year, God's going to want to use you and me in somebody's life that we're probably not really going to want to do it. We're probably in our own humanness not going to care that much about whether that person's life is going that well. Because that's a part of who humanly we are. But if we give ourselves to God, if we have that relationship with Christ, the way we care for people changes because we begin to care as God cares. We receive help as God desires to give it, and we're willing to give help, just like Ezekiel. So, God cares, God sends help. The next one, God provides miracles. In 7 and 8, verses 7 and 8, it says that bones were brought together and a body created. Bones were brought together and a body created. Now, it took a miracle to do that. And so there are things that are going to happen in your life. There are things that are going to happen in other people's lives if we allow it. God has the ability, and a lot of times it's directly through the Holy Spirit that we see it happening, that things that should not be able to happen in your life, things that should not be able to happen in people's lives that you know, begin to happen. And at that point, nobody can be given credit but God unless somebody just says, well, that was just a really nice coincidence. I don't believe in many coincidences in my life. But God shows himself over and over every day if we allow it. That's how God works. It's not something that just happens once in a lifetime. It happens regularly. And you know, a lot of times we would stop there and we would say, you know, well, that's the way it should be. God just does these great things in life, and that could be a good way to end the scripture, and just we have the invitation, and that's what we live into, that God cares, God sends help, we can be a part of that, and then God accomplishes these great things, but it doesn't end there. In verses 9 through 14, we see that not only did God bring the body to bring the bones together, move them, not only did he create a body out of it with tendons and sinews and all the things that make a body, but then it says that he brought life to that body. It wasn't just a body, but it brought life. He brought life to that body. How many of us, at times our body has been intact? It may even have been that we were healthy. But if it really came down to it, you're walking around and you feel like you have no true life inside of you. You're just going through the motions. I guess that was a point to be made. You're going through the motions. Scripture says God does not desire us to do that. John 10:10 says, he came that we may have life and have life how? Abundantly, to the full. Now, I'm not going to tell you there's not going to be challenges, not going to be times you're going to go through life, it's not going to be times you have hardships. That's going to happen. It rains on the just and the unjust. But God does not desire us to live there. And if we're doing that, we're choosing to do something that's in opposition to what God's called us to do. And if we go back to the scripture today, we have to acknowledge God cares for us, even if we don't feel like it. Even if we think in the situation of what's going on, God hates us. If we believe scripture, we have to know that's not true. We have to be open to God's desire to send us help and realize at times we can't do it by ourselves. And you know, sometimes, and we talk about helping others, it's sometimes that most of our help comes through doing something for someone else. And so then we can expect miraculous things to happen. And as those miraculous things happen, they lead to life, to true joy, so that in the midst of the struggles that you have, you can know joy. I'm challenging each of you today. if you aren't going through a hardship right now, you will. And it'll probably be sooner rather than later. I don't desire that for you. Jesse, in his testimony, one of the things I heard him say was that he had gotten to a point and God said, "That's enough. I need something different from you." I don't believe for a second, and I don't think Jesse does either, that God caused his mom to suffer from cancer, or God caused his grandfather to die, or that God caused businesses that he was engaged in to fail. I don't believe God caused that. But all of those things happened in whatever way, whatever reason they did. And in the midst of that, God said, "Now you're in a place and I'm desiring to use that to bring you to the place that I desire you to be in." And although Jesse didn't desire that, when he began realizing that, it enabled him to be a different person. Well, you started that story in 2013. This is 2017. That's only 4 years. In fact, it's not even 4 years yet, because you said it was the summer that you began that story. If you know Jesse, he's about doing some pretty amazing things that God calls him to right now. Less than 4 years after he experienced that with his mom, probably closer to 3 years. And I'm not doing this to lift Jesse up. I'm just saying that's the type of God we serve, that can do that type of thing if we allow it. And he wants to use us just like he used Ezekiel to enable it to happen in other people's lives as well when they don't even know it's coming. So this is your opportunity to respond. I'm going to ask our musicians to come, and we're going to close with the hymn, "The Master Hath Come." And he is. God's here. He never left. He's come and he's right here with you, ready to be a part of your life wherever your life is right now. And there's no way you can get around the message I believe God has given us today. One, you're either struggling and you need God and you need to see the miracle happen and you need the joy. Or if you aren't that much struggling right now, you need to be able and willing to be a messenger for God to those who are, because there's people all around you that are. That's the message. So my question is, are you going to respond? And it's not me that you owe that to, it's God. God gave everything for us. He sent his son to die on the cross so that we could have this relationship, so that he could show that he cares, so that he could then enable us to live beyond the challenges and the burdens that we are all facing. Do you want that? It's here for the offering. And you can help others to know it too. Let's stand together and sing, "The Master Hath Come." Hymn number 497.
Of his